Woohoo!
This is Android Buffet, episode number 138, recorded Monday, March 11th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. I am once again joined by my co-host, Jerry.
That would be me.
How Hello. Are you?
Yay.
How are you?
I'm frustrated to all get out.
I'm sorry. Would you like to talk about it? I would like to hear about it.
Sure. Okay, so you know I've been having some hardware troubles lately, right?
Still?
Well, yes, still.
Okay.
So I found... Did you hear the part where I found bad memory?
Yes, you were talking about that last week.
Right. First bad memory I've ever seen in my life. So I got new memory, and I still was having troubles. So I got a new motherboard and a new CPU, and spent a pretty penny on them. It's an Asus Rampage 4 Extreme, and not the top-of-the-line Intel chip, but the next one down, the 12-core 3.2 gigahertz. Smoking chip. Did you know that the top two tiers of Intel chips do not come with coolers?
No, but I always buy a third-party cooler.
Well, I have a water-cooled system. Okay. And I thought that my CPU water block had mounts for AMD and Intel. And I had an AMD system moving to an Intel system. So I didn't worry about a mount for the water block. Well, it turns out that my water block had mounts for the LGA 1366, not the LGA 2011. So I had a motherboard and I had a CPU, but I couldn't use it because I had no cooler. I could have used it if Intel would have included a cooler, but they didn't. So I had to order a mount for my water block.
Okay, that makes sense.
That took a few more days to come in. At least it was cheap. You know, it ran like $30.
How long does that take to get to you?
Cheaper than a new water block.
How long did that take to get to you?
2 days. I ordered it on Wednesday, and it showed up on Saturday. But I paid, you know, postal service, priority mail. And I ordered it at like 11 p.m. on Wednesday. So they shipped it on Thursday. It spent Friday in transit, got here on Saturday. Not bad.
Okay.
So I rebuilt my system on Friday, or on Saturday.
Okay.
Couldn't get any audio out. And, like, it refused to believe that I plugged in speakers and wanted to send everything out the optical out. Fussed with that for, I want to say, a good 36 hours. And then went down to CompUSA and bought a sound card. Said, screw it, got a sound card. Put the sound card in, and now everything's working.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
They still have CompUSAs?
Well, they're Tiger Directs, but...
Okay. Yeah. Just thought I'd... Sorry. Just wanted to know. Go on.
It'll always be a CompUSA to me. So, I have a request in for an RMA on the motherboard, because it's brand new, and I got the RMA information in today, and then I called them up and asked for a cross-ship. And now they're doing a stock check, and I'm waiting on the stock check to find out if they can do a cross-ship.
So essentially, if they actually have the item that they manufactured that you purchased.
Yes. Well, it was extremely hard to find one of these motherboards in stock.
I understand. Maybe they have an equivalent item.
I don't think there is an equivalent item.
I'll trust you on that. You have very unique needs.
Yep.
I bought a motherboard.
You know, bad memory. I put it in the new motherboard.
Yeah.
And ran mem test on it. Errors popped up again. I took it out, and the errors went away. I have confirmed bad memory sticks. I've never seen that before in my life.
Well, one time I had a problem with bad memory. The motherboard just didn't like it, but it worked perfectly in another computer.
See, now I always figure that's the motherboard that's got an issue. I've had numerous motherboard issues, including memory controllers or memory slots or, you know, something bad. I've never actually seen a stick go bad.
Well, was bound to happen eventually.
Yep. On a positive note, I noticed that the sound is
probably better.
Significantly so. I'm amazed at how much better stuff sounds. I mean, I always figured the motherboard sound card's just as good as anything else because I'm not doing any content creation. So, you know, it...
Well, you usually get a better chip, though. You know, the same way that onboard video is usually a little less than dedicated video, it's probably the same thing.
Right, but the amount of processing power needed to decode an audio stream...
Yeah.
And really, you don't... The sound card doesn't even need to decode it. The CPU is going to decode it and turn it into... you know, a wave signal, and then the card just needs to turn it from digital to analog, right?
Yeah, but some of those cards can do it with a greater fidelity.
And I'm amazed at the... I mean, I did not... I spent $80 on the sound card, and I'm really happy with it.
Well, you should be. You should enjoy the items that you purchase.
I have my speakers plugged in and my headset plugged in. And there's a control that it's just a switch. I go from headphones to speakers, and I don't have to unplug or replug anything like I have been for the last many years that I've been doing this.
You've been doing that for many years? You could have just gotten a switch that does it. I have one right here. I would have sent you one.
I didn't know that that was like an option. I always thought you plugged in headphones, and it overrides speakers. So if you want to listen to speakers, you have to unplug the headphones.
I have a little switch. I have
another
boxer.
Will it switch from 5.1 to headphones?
Probably not. It's a stereo switch.
Well, I have a 5.1 system.
I'm sure there's something. But you now have it, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yep. Unfortunately, the sound card has taken up an entire 16-channel-wide PCI Express slot.
Were you using it for anything?
Well, it would not have fit in my old motherboard. This motherboard has 16 lane wide. What do you call that? X16.
I know what you're talking about.
The long PCI Express slots.
Yes.
And
you're correct. X16.
They're spaced out really, really nicely. So I've got my three video cards in three of the slots, and the one closest to the end of the board I left empty. So I had room for this sound card, which was nice.
Well, I've been working on a system of my own. Remember last week where I said I talked myself out of it?
Yeah.
I talked myself back into it.
All right.
So I'm building a mini ITX system.
A mini ITX?
Yes.
Mm. And I just built an extended ATX system.
Yeah, so you're going big, I'm going small. Basically, what I'm going to do is the quad-core system that's running my server will be repurposed as the podcast computer, among other things, here in the studio. And I'm going to build a low-power mini ITX system, which is essentially just a tiny motherboard and a bunch of hard drives. So it will have the power to do a bunch of different things, but it will also have the lack of power to not run very hot, run very loud, or use very much electricity. It actually does not have a fan. It's a fanless board.
What's the processor?
It's an AMD Fusion, if I remember correctly.
What is that? Like,
It's like an Atom, only better.
Ah.
Well, again, for the purpose of running a couple hard drives and network storage, that's not an issue. But I have to finish up the last piece to build the system and start installing the operating system before I move the hard drives over from the server.
Mm-hmm.
Just arrived, so I'll be able to boot the system up on the SSD. I bought a new SSD for the purpose. So that's going to be the OS drive. Getting to the show.
Oh, yeah. Android stuff.
Well, we got some emails.
Oh, emails.
We got an email from a guy in Australia. And in order to keep our Australian listeners, I am not going to attempt to read it in an Australian accent. This is from Lance. Hi, Guru and Jerry. Just a note to let you know that I'm a regular listener from Australia. I enjoy the range of your Android news. Not dwelling too long on each item allows you to cover some of the less significant news, which is great for me. Also, enjoy you having guests on your show. Keep up the good work. Lance in Sydney.
Sweet.
And only 20 minutes ago, we got another one.
No.
No, it came in at 9:41.
All right.
This is from B. Abiyad. Hello. Love the show. I was wondering if you guys could help me out. I have a 16-gigabyte Galaxy Note 2. The drive in the device is almost full, so I purchased a 64 gigabyte micro SD SanDisk Ultra 64 gigabyte micro SD XC class 10 card and installed it thinking I could move some apps to it. Turns out I cannot. My question is there any way to merge the two drives so the system sees it as one drive, thus letting me install apps directly to the new SD card? Any help would be appreciated. Thanks and keep up the good work. The answer I'm going to give to that is not without root. You could
maybe not even with root. Or would he have to mount an extension point or something?
Well, see, the thing that confuses me is why can't you move the data, not the apps? Keep the apps on the internal 16 gigabytes. I'm really surprised that somebody has 16 gigabytes of apps. Why not, try to isolate some data that you could move over to the card?
You know what I found to be a common problem that sucked up a lot of space on my Evo, my OG Evo?
Yeah.
MMS messages.
Really? I wouldn't think they'd take up that much space.
Well, I have a wife and a daughter that like to take pictures, so I got a lot of pictures sent to me. Okay. And as long as they're in the messages, they go into a database that's on the equivalent of system drive. So they can suck up a lot of space.
So I have a suggestion here, and I think we're both on the same page here, Jerry, where we both believe that there's non-app-related data that could be purged.
Yes.
Basically, since it's a Note 2, it is definitely using, at this point it would be using Jelly Bean, but there's actually a storage option under settings in most devices that will show you what space is being used for apps, what space is being used for pictures, videos, audio, etc. Maybe you can move some of that. Now, if you want to, again, move apps to your SD card, the only choice would be a custom ROM, in my opinion. So you'd have to root and ROM the thing in order to get that type of capability because it's not usually defaultly built in. Also, the danger is what happens if you remove the card. There's a reason why apps are usually installed to onboard memory and why Android changed the parameters to deprecate the use of an SD card on its own devices. But good luck. Hopefully that helps a bit. And
Would highly recommend moving as much of your own personal data to the SD card as possible if you can.
No, I agree with
that. I mean, it, in my opinion, makes the data safer.
Well, you also have the other part. If you move apps to an external SD card, even a Class 10, they probably will run a little slower.
Not significantly so.
No. But I mean, there are apps. Unless you program it correctly, and that would be the ROMing and rooting part, then you are going to have problems because most applications are not designed to run off of an SD card.
I think more and more of them are now, aren't they?
Well, there was a time when...
I mean, anything that uses a widget is not going to be able to. Anything that runs on a lock screen or a keyboard won't be able to.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking in this case is the fact that Android, for a while there, added the ability to move to an SD card and then went in the other direction and said, well, you don't need an SD card. So
I always thought that was a money-saving feature.
No, I gathered that it had to do with the way that Android organized things, but... in terms of security.
Well, it is Linux, and it's not like Linux has ever been really good at organizing its file system.
I disagree with that. Flat files have advantages, but the issue was basically that onboard memory was considered to be more secure. You can't remove it, whereas you could remove the card, put it into a computer, and access the data.
Which I would argue is one of its biggest strengths.
Yeah,
strongest strengths just sounds funny. Bigger strengths.
Well, it's that reason why the things that I put on the SD card I put into the current phone I have are music. I don't care if somebody steals my music collection. I don't care if somebody steals videos I might have on there, but I do care if they steal my passwords.
Yes.
So
I don't think LastPass will even allow you to store your vault on an SD card.
Yeah, but you understand there are some apps that do actually have their credentials stored insecurely.
And I completely 100% you and I agreement. That's what we have.
Yeah, I just think that Android, instead of abandoning the SD card, should have made it a media storage device and said, well, that's where you can store your media and your pictures, but we're not going to let apps be stored there. But that's just my opinion. At some point, it was useful to do it, but I think that we're getting away from that. Anyway, let's talk about some other stuff. The White House has agreed that you should be able to unlock your cell phone.
Now, what changes will this actually have? Will this have any real effect?
Well, look at the next thing on the list. In response to that, a U.S. senator has introduced a bill to allow cell phone carrier unlocking, so it has brought the issue into the public consciousness, to the point at which...
Political consciousness, maybe.
Well, it has brought it into the consciousness of people who are not technical enthusiasts such as ourselves. It has made it an issue for the public. along with that issue that I'm thinking of voting on it over at whitehouse.gov to eliminate daylight savings time. I hate it.
Why?
I hate it. It messes me up for days, and what does it do? It gives me more light. That's what light bulbs were invented for. I want it gone. Arizona doesn't have it, and they seem to be doing pretty well.
As a programmer, I pretty much hate anything having to do with time zones. Daylight savings time being in particularly nasty.
So let's get rid of it.
Well, that doesn't help. Now it'll just, if you get rid of it, at least now when you say we have to take daylight savings time into account, then people kind of understand it because it happens. If you take it away, then people will forget that daylight savings time ever happened. And they'll be like, why are you worried about the daylight savings time in your programming, dude? Because
Oh, yes. So you're saying that we should all suffer so that you don't have to reprogram a couple of applications to no longer support daylight savings.
You should, sir. You're familiar with MySQL, right?
Yes, and they do have time zone features in there.
Right. There are tables in there that show transitions for time zones and such, the vast majority of it being from daylight savings back and forth.
Oh, I thought it was from UTC to everything else.
Well, it's basically a series of transitions from one offset to another offset.
Yes,
the table is huge.
I know I had to play with it thanks to MythTV in the last version. They finally adopted UTC. Reprogramming my database was a pain in the neck. Only took a few minutes.
We recently had a problem with that where we had one query that if a radio station had its time zone set to Anchorage, the query would run out of memory. But if we set its time zone to Juneau, it would run fine.
So everybody should live in Juneau.
What kind of craziness is that? Apparently, Juneau and Anchorage were in different time zones until like 1968.
I did not know that. That's an interesting fact. I wonder why that was.
I have no idea.
Wonder why it changed.
But I discovered that while trying to figure out what's the difference between Juneau and Anchorage.
Can we just blame the founding fathers for putting in daylight savings? Actually, no, they didn't do it. But we can blame someone. I just don't like it.
Apparently, it's taken on. It's caught on around the world too.
Yeah, for the next 20 days, we're only 4 hours from London instead of 5 hours from London.
They don't do it until
the 31st.
Daylight savings time. That's something I just wish had never been invented.
We covered this. Let's just get rid of it. It doesn't make sense.
You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
What genie? It's a stupid idea requiring us to change our clocks twice a year. Why don't we just say we're going to keep our clocks the same way and execute some intelligence? If it makes more sense because at a different time of year to work different hours, let's just work different hours.
I don't understand what makes a difference.
Well, again, nowadays it doesn't. And the fact that we changed it under President Bush made even less sense to me. We should have just left it where it was if we had to deal with it. Anyway, moving along, now that I've gotten upset about the fact that I'm tired because my body doesn't like changing by an hour, it messes me up
for days. It's just an hour.
No, I'm very sensitive to it. It messes me up for days.
Wow.
Okay. Did you know there are new distribution numbers out for Android?
I did not.
Yes, Jelly Bean is now 16.5% of the total Android usage. ICS is 28.6%. Gingerbread is still at 44.6%, which means that ICS and Jelly Bean combined now exceed Gingerbread's share of the platform.
Nice.
Yes. We'll hear more on that later, but that's actually a very good thing. That means that we are finally starting to get into the more modern version of the operating system. And I want to celebrate the first anniversary of the time that I said, Google Play, which people seem to enjoy me saying. I haven't said it like that.
Really?
We got emails. People liked it when I said, Google Play. But it's been a long time, so happy anniversary, Google Play. Oh, by the way, today's also Douglas Adams' 61st birthday. There's a doodle over on Google. I miss him. I enjoyed his.
You know, interestingly enough, I was watching The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy just last night.
In honor of that or just coincidence?
No, coincidentally. That would explain all the Douglas Adams quotes I've been seeing around the internet today.
Yeah, and Google has an animated doodle, which is nice. You should go look.
I almost never go to the Google home site.
Well, when I hear there's an interesting doodle, I like to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Someday I'd like to talk to somebody who was involved in the creation of a Google doodle just to ask them. Let's see what else. Oh, yes. Well-known Apple enthusiast Andy Anatko created a buzz online when he declared that Android has finally gotten to the point where he switched from iOS.
Wow.
Yeah, basically his reasons after 5 years of iPhone usage center around an idea that sounds very familiar to me. If I don't like something, I can change it, which is pretty much how I've been describing the difference between Apple and Android for years. If I don't like how something works, I can change it. I don't have to change it, but I have that choice. Yep. Just to quote Mr. Anatka, the iPhone is superior to a flagship Android phone at easy to use on day one, but it plateaus after a month. Android, I suggest, keeps getting easier to use as it continues to adjust to you and you keep learning new ways to get better performance. So I'm not going to harp against one guy switching over to Android, but it's just very interesting considering that the person in question is one, a well-known tech writer, and also a very well-known lover of Apple products, which he has stated he has not stopped loving.
Sure makes sense to me.
Okay, I just thought it was worth mentioning.
I would say that's exactly why I got my wife an iPhone instead of an Android device.
Because it's easier on day one?
Yep.
How's she feeling around day 30?
She is still trying to figure it out.
Okay.
I mean, she's like most use she's got, but, you know, I still go, when I do pick up her phone, I still see that, you know, there's like 30 apps that need to be updated. It just...
Well, my mother called me and told me she has to come...
Exactly what she wants to get done and doesn't poke around anything else.
My mother called me and told me that I have to come and fix the Resound for her that I gave her after I got the S3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting I'm supposed to see her in 9 days because the holiday of Passover is coming up. But I'm predicting it's the equivalent of when she used to call me and tell me that the television was broken and she just changed the channel on the television instead of on the cable box.
Right. Yep.
But she does love her phone. And it's an HTC, so I know you appreciate that.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Google entered into a license agreement with MPEG LA for the WebM video format. So this means...
I'm curious what the terms of that agreement are.
Well, basically, it means more people can use the WebM format without fear of getting sued, which means some people might use it. There was an interesting article about dropping support for older versions of Android.
Wow.
So do you think that now that so many people are using 4.0 and above, that popular apps are going to stop development for 2.3 and prior?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, that means like
I say I hope so because I don't have one of those. I'm sure that if I did have one of those phones, then I would not be in such a hurry.
Well, the thing is, once 50% of your base uses the modern version of the operating system, backward support is less prevalent. That doesn't mean you're not necessarily going to leave the old version up. It just means you're going to stop development on it. You might go in every so often, maybe do a bug fix here and there, but you're not going to be creating new features for a version when those people will be gradually upgrading. I think once it hits the majority, you have to say, I can't support everybody.
Yeah, no. It hasn't worked that way with Windows.
Up until Windows 8, when they dumped everyone.
No, I mean, as a desktop software developer, you still have to support Windows XP.
XP, yes, but not 3.1.
No, and not 2000.
Yeah, but the cycle in Android...
I never supported them, eh?
The cycle in Android is a bit shorter, as you may have noticed.
Yes.
GoGo reports that airborne Android use is up 400% in the last 2 years. And that's 26% of people who are logging into GoGo in-flight internet using Android, and the rest apparently are using iOS, with the Windows and the BlackBerry percentage too small to count.
Isn't that interesting? I wonder if that just shows which percentage of people who fly are using iOS devices.
Well, do you remember when we did that infographic where it said that iOS users have disposable income?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's true.
See, that's exactly where I was going with that.
Okay, well, that's why we do so well as a team. We're both going in the same direction, or when we're going in different directions, it's interesting. Anyway, so we'll see. I haven't actually been on a plane with internet in such a long time. I blame JetBlue. They keep promising me internet and not delivering. Soon. Please bring me internet, JetBlue. I fly you more than anybody else. Well, they have a lot of flights out of New York. They have good service out of Jacksonville. They serve New York and Boston.
Yeah.
You could fly up and see me.
I have flown JetBlue before, and that was the one of the few flights that I actually enjoyed instead of just tolerated.
Well, they're nice. I mean, I don't really need the televisions. I'd prefer internet, but, you know, they have nice flight crews. I don't have a problem with them.
Yeah, it was the flight crew that I'm talking about.
They've
really can't do a whole lot about the hardware, but when the people rock, that just makes everything else cool.
You probably enjoy Virgin America, but unfortunately they don't fly very many places or make money or do other things that may be important for usage. People love Virgin America who fly them, but they only have a few routes, and they've lost money since the day that they started. Shame. I flew them once, and I live-tweeted it. They have a system. You know the backseat television some planes have?
Yes.
You can order your in-flight snacks on there. So if it's a free snack, you can order it. If it's a paid snack, you swipe your credit card, and they bring you the snack.
Sweet.
Yeah, but they got a little busy. I ordered an orange juice, and I was live-tweeting how many minutes it took for them to bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
40.
Wow.
But the second time, you know, after it slowed down a bit, it only took them 120 seconds. So there's
See, I'd have just got up and went and got it.
It was the principle of it. I was attempting to test the system. You can't realistically test the system if you influence it unfairly.
Right, but if I would have ordered an orange juice, it would probably have been because I was thirsty.
No, I was thirsty, but I figured I would just... Remember, I held out for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm... Wow.
After that point, I flagged down the flight attendants, and they said they must have missed me.
So you could have waited another 60 minutes.
Yes. I'm just saying how long I waited before I gave up. I waited until they were
So you did the same thing I would have done. You just lasted longer than I would have.
Well, I waited until they were no longer in the aisles doing anything.
Ah, yes.
So I wanted to see if they were just occupied or if they would eventually get to it. So I see what concerns me is what if I hadn't spoken up and it had been a paid beverage?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I prove that I paid for it? And how do I prove that they didn't deliver it to me if I swiped it at the back of my seat? But I only flew them once, so I figured these questions are something I'd have to wait until I had a reason to fly back to San Francisco or Los Angeles again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someday. I wouldn't mind going back there again. When I was in San Francisco in August, I was just there for a family affair, and I wasn't really taking my time. So I didn't get to appreciate the wonder of my airline, although I did take JetBlue, which was nice. There I would have really liked the Wi-Fi. It's the five-hour flights where you really want some entertainment. And there's only so many reruns on television you can watch. I just got rid of cable.
And that's why I like airplanes that have an internet connection.
That's why I said I want JetBlue to put that in. And they keep saying they're going to. They've been delayed. So every time I fly, I say, next time are you going to have internet? And they say yes. Eventually it will be true. I think they believe it. I don't blame them. Let's see. There was an interesting article on 16 Android voice actions to make Android your own personal assistant. There are a few I didn't know here. So did you know you can open an app with your voice?
I did not.
Set an alarm. Have a note to self that will include an email to yourself as well as a recording of your note.
I did not.
Calendar event. Send an email. Send an SMS. Call. Scan a barcode. Identify a song. Tell it to listen to a song. Go to a website. Show a map of a location. Directions to a location. Navigation to a location. Or even post to Google+. So I can try this right now. I happen to have a... device right here.
Wow, Bitcoin is in free fall right now.
So let's see what I can do. Listen to Rockin' Robin on YouTube. And it came up with Michael Jackson doing Rockin' Robin on YouTube. Or is this Bobby Day doing Rockin' Robin? No, it's Jackson 5. Probably should turn the volume up. I think that's as much as I can realistically play before I get sued.
Huh.
For demonstration purposes only.
Sure.
So, I don't own that version. Anyway, but basically, I didn't know that a few of these. I knew that, I remember when I tried to set an alarm, they told me that wasn't enabled yet, and that was probably a year ago. So this is actually very useful. I didn't know barcode scanning was in there. So I could tell it to listen to music. The only thing I wish I could do, my car has dialing. I wish I could reprogram it so that it would actually engage the Google voice recognition.
That would be so sweet.
Instead of engaging the car one.
I so understand what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, there must be a way to do it. I'll figure it out someday. So I spent some time with Pocket Cast. You asked me about that. Remember you told me that you wanted to know if it was worth it? The visual design of Pocket Cast is great. Their support, I did send an email to their support team about a problem, and they did respond within the day. So, but there are certain features that I've come to enjoy on Dog Catcher that I don't quite think are there. Unfortunately, the Dog Catcher guy seems to be taking them away. The biggest problem I have with Dog Catcher is the size of the buttons and the playing screen. Those two things stink. So one of the things that the developer of Dog Catcher has been doing is adding more buttons at the bottom, which means that the existing button, the play button, which I think should be bigger than all the other buttons, is now smaller, and I can't make it any bigger.
Really? I thought they just added something to make it easier to make them bigger.
Yeah, there's a button there that makes them bigger or smaller, mm-hmm. or turns them off, which is certainly very useful, but it doesn't make the play... I want the play button to be gigantic.
Ah.
I want the play... Have you seen certain play apps where the... or any sort of music app where the play button is bigger than any other button? Because that's the one that you're always trying to get a hold of?
Nope.
Okay. Either way, there are a lot of nice things about Pocket Casts. I like the visual interface. It's very nice, and I think many people will enjoy it. I have some issues with the selection between streaming and downloading content. I think that's the reason why it started playing in the middle of a phone call.
Sure. Which
it's not supposed to do. But basically, if I want streaming, I want streaming. If I want downloading, I had some issues trying to get the thing to do what I wanted it to do. So in terms of the ability to do what I want it to, Dog Catcher comes closer to my ideal. But in terms of a visual interface, I happen to like Pocket Casts. So the question is, what's more important to you? I think the two apps could come closer together. Also, Pocket Cast does have a sync function where you can essentially keep track of everything in a cloud and sync between devices, which is certainly an advantage. But Dog Catcher currently has that feature in a closed beta. So eventually it will be released to the public, along with all the other features that Dog Catcher has said that they have on the frontier. Admittedly, if you look at the issue tracker for Dog Catcher, the guy works on it pretty hard. He updates regularly. Yes. So, you know, admittedly, you know, my issues are in the interface right now, but I think he's gotten most of the functionality down. The issue is the way the interface is set up. The now playing screen, I don't really like that much. I think it could be more visually appealing. And the button interface. Maybe I'll write him a letter. Don't know if he'll listen, but maybe I'll write him a letter. Chrome for Android has been...
my favorite browser.
Yeah, it's been experimenting with a speedy proxy to optimize pages before delivering them to the customer. Now, if you remember, Opera did this and Skyfire and a few others. Mm-hmm. But I've never spoken to anybody who said that they felt it was significantly faster. At least not fast enough to offset the fact that you're sending all of your information through a proxy.
So well, I think there's only... I mean... I don't know. On a cell phone, I think speedy could be.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a speedy. I'm talking about a speedy proxy. See, if more websites implemented speedy, the whole internet would be.
That could be significant because what's the major issue on a mobile phone?
Bandwidth.
You know, your bandwidth is not the major problem for most websites. It's opening a connection. Once you've got the connection open, then bits can stream their way to you. And speedy, its major advantage is that it streams multiple assets over the same connection.
I'm waiting for it to be built into my web server.
Which one?
Nginx. It's in. There's an experimental patch, but I do not deploy experimental patches.
Ah.
It's a production server. I wait for stable. Don't you?
I don't admin systems.
No, but I'm saying when you put something into use.
I think this past couple of weeks have proven to me that if it's not software, I don't want to touch it.
No, but I'm saying when you put any sort of system into use, you don't want it to be something that's buggy. You want something that's been tested, regardless of what it is.
Well, in theory, yeah.
I'm talking about in theory. Admittedly, in practice, I put plenty of untested things into being. I don't want it to be that way, though. There are many things. I think I should back up more. Most people do. But do we back up as much as we think we should? Jerry, do you back up?
No, kinda.
Okay, well, it's not exactly backup, but that just reminded me, we haven't talked about our sponsor tonight. And, we were just talking about how you shouldn't put an unstable system into production. And, you know, there were some interesting things lately where, did you hear Cloudflare went down?
I did.
And Cloudflare went down because somebody misconfigured a router, apparently, and deployed
it. It happens.
Yeah, but if you have something like dyn.com, and how do you spell that, Jerry?
Dyn.com.
He just loves
it. /podcast30.
Yes, that's our promotional promo code. You can go there, fill out the contact form. You can use that as a promo code in the checkout box. But basically, dyn.com focuses on your uptime. Now, if the people at Cloudflare had had backups using something like dyn.com, they would have had features like global traffic management, load balancing, and active failover. So if something failed, it would move on to the next thing. So you would not embarrass your business associates by having your site down. And trust me, somebody was embarrassed. And many people may be moving over to the alternative. Do you know why I didn't try Cloudflare?
Why?
Because Cloudflare requires you to have your DNS servers pointing at them, and then they'll manage it and send it back to you. So right. I did not want a third-party company involved in my DNS, especially if that company was offering me a free service. Now, paying people, you can trust, because you can call them up and yell at them. You try yelling at somebody you didn't give any money to. What's the motivation for them to do something about the problem?
And just remember, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product.
Yes. So I believe in paying people for their services. I take advantage of many free services. I would pay Google for Gmail if they had a reasonable per-person non-business price.
Right?
Yeah. Their
$50 a year per person is just too expensive.
Isn't it per person per something? Is it $50 a year now?
$50 a year per person.
Okay. I think that that's a bit much for email.
I do too.
Okay.
I mean, it's awesome email. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I think for a corporate thing where you have all the administration stuff, what I really want is a regular Gmail account with an alias for my own domain. I think they could do that for less. I have three accounts in order to satisfy that need. I could have one account if they just did aliasing for a fee. But that's just me. But we're talking about Dyn.com. So basically, what it comes down to in the end is we like free services. But when you want reliability, when you want somebody to be accountable for your problem, you want to pay. You want to make sure that those services are taken care of by people who have some sort of motivation to help you. And that's where Dyn.com comes in. That's D-Y-N. I know Jerry likes to spell, but I can spell too. Not only do they offer enterprise-level DNS, but they have service tiers for any company. They have more than 4 million customers, and they have support. Now, what type of support you get is based on how much you pay. So you can get, you know, standard business hour support, or you can get support at 3 in the morning when you're supposed to be asleep and your server's supposed to be up. So no matter what you want, DYN is there for you.
Right, DYN.com.
Yes, we want to thank them for their support, and we hope that they enjoyed being a part of the show. Assuming they
and you get 30% off at Podcast 30, is that right?
That's what the 30 is for. Right?
Podcast 30. DYN.com/podcast30.
Yeah, I should go sign up for something. I need a project. Because I've been spending all this time talking about their services. I should, you know, think up a project to do with them. Maybe something with email.
Would you like a project that is under constant distributed DOS attack and uptime is of the utmost importance and
is this a project I want to take? A
constant target to attack?
Is this would a project?
Like kind of project?
No, not particularly. I was more referring to a, you know, some sort of project that I might do as a hobby. You know, I'm always tinkering with something.
I'm in need of a damn good sysadmin because I can write code, but hardening and maintaining a server that's under constant attack. Whew.
I have a day job. Oh, that reminds me. As per a recent agreement with my employer, I am required to advise you that my opinions do not represent the opinions of my employer, nor Jerry's employer, as far as I know, or any other organization that we may be affiliated with. We are completely independent beings expressing our individual opinions, and we are not paid spokesmen of any organization. Is that right,
Jerry? That's so not true. You do express the opinions of my employers.
I do?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm saying that I am not a representative of your employers.
You are not.
Nor are you a representative of your employers in your capacity as the host of the show.
And I'm not a representative of your employer either.
I should hope not. That would be a conflict of interest, wouldn't it?
Would it?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
If you were representing my employer and I didn't know him?
Well, that wouldn't be a conflict of interest. That would be just be shady.
Okay. So all of us, our opinions are our own and do not reflect anybody else. So yes. Now that I've discharged that legal disclaimer, I feel better. Okay.
We can talk about the contest or the opinion poll or whatever, right?
Yes. I was. My employer has finally gotten around to approving me to express my opinion in public. It's only taken a few years for us to get on the same page about that. You know, there were all these technologies that they felt uncomfortable with, and they still feel uncomfortable with them, but they agreed that they would, as long as I have the writing here somewhere. Let's see, where did I put that email?
You know, I don't understand what makes USB 3.0.
Basically... they are in agreement that as long as I follow the conditions we discussed, that I am permitted to engage in certain outside activities. However, they reserve the right to review further.
Which means that if you tell everybody who you are, you won't get fired.
Well, pretty much.
Which means that the major reason for Guru's anonymity has evaporated.
Yeah, but there's still the other one that I was mentioning to you. I feel that that people will find the whole thing anticlimactic.
And, you know, I think we need to
So what is the, I'm going to do what I discussed with Jerry prior, which is I'm going to ask the audience out there, what is the proper way to transition from anonymity to non-anonymity? Why do I find that word so hard to pronounce? Non-anonymity. Maybe I have a cold. Anyway. So if you have any opinions on this, you can email podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can use the contact form on the website. You can send us a voicemail at 2012-WENICA saying how you feel I should best transition from anonymity to non-anonymity, or perhaps you want to express an opinion suggesting that I remain completely anonymous. I'm sure somebody must have that opinion. So if you want to express
it. Should he remain the enigma that he is? Or should he come out and let y'all realize that he's just a normal person like everybody else?
Shall I pull out myself from behind the curtain, just like that guy in that popular movie that's out now? Anyway, let's go back to Chrome.
Die Hard or Die Trying?
No, the Oz movie. You know, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
I don't think that's a recent movie.
No, there's a...
I think that came out in like the 30s.
No, there's a new one. There's a prequel. There is. Yeah, it's in the theaters now. There's a prequel.
Hmm.
The original movie came out in the 30s. There's a prequel. They have to limit the references to the original movie to avoid being sued, but it's there. Anyway, let's see. What do we have here? Yes, Chrome has been updated, adding improved scrolling, pinch zooming, faster pages due to a new version of the rendering engine, background audio. So if you leave the app and you are playing audio in a web page, it will keep playing, which is good and bad. Good because if you want it to play, bad if you don't. Expanded HTML5 support and more. And in the Chrome beta, if you use the Chrome beta, password and autofill sync have been brought to the Chrome beta. So if you've already synced your passwords on your desktop, they will now go over to your Android device. I'm sure you like that, Jerry.
I do.
Yes. And Google showed off what it could do with Chrome Sync by letting people use an Android phone running Chrome as a controller for a game running in a Chrome desktop browser. Did you try this?
I did not. I could not even imagine why I would.
It's just interesting.
Although I got to be honest, man.
Chrome has gotten better?
No, it's, you know, I have reformatted my hard drive like a dozen times in the last 2 weeks.
Is that good for it?
It's a solid state drive and it's a quick format. So, but it is Chrome that makes it so easy to get back to life as normal. I sign into Chrome and I've got all my bookmarks.
Buy a pixel.
Back.
Buy a pixel. It's Chrome and nothing else.
No, I don't want any more hardware. I'm unhappy with hardware right now anyway. I'm not buying more hardware. Hardware sucks. Software rules.
Okay. I don't necessarily agree. I do like software, but I also like hardware. That's why I'm building a computer. Just because. That's the way I roll.
I do have to admit that this new motherboard and processor...
Yeah.
Smoking.
Well, you know what I'm getting rid of as soon as I finish my transition? DDR2 memory. The computer that runs the podcast is the last computer here that has DDR2. When I take it out, I will be DDR3 100%.
Is that good?
3 is higher than 2, so I'm going to say yes. AccuWeather had an update with a new UI. And you know what? I actually like it. I have the hardest time finding weather apps I like. The Weather Channel app has been driving me crazy for years, so I am now using the widget from the AccuWeather app. I find it very enjoyable. Not sure how accurate it is, but I think that nobody can agree on what the weather is, so it's probably not bad that no weather app is 100% correct. At least it's consistent. That Google Plus sign-in feature we were talking about is now supported by TuneIn Radio.
Wow.
Yes. You can try out Vire Launcher. So do you think I have to ask you, Jared, do you think that the age of new launchers is dead? Do you think people will give up on different types of launchers? Or has it just begun? Because so far...
I think it's just begun.
Because so far we've seen swipe launchers, we've seen menu type launchers, and we've seen many different versions of launchers that are essentially, you know, upgraded and, you know, fancier versions of the stock launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but we'll see what happens. Speaking of different parts of the operating system that have reproduced, the AdaptText keyboard allows for great customization and the common set of features, such as word prediction. So essentially, it does those things you expect, and it also allows for a lot more customization than some other keyboards, including the size of the keys, which I'm surprised more keyboards don't allow you to increase. I have big fingers. I might want a big keyboard. But unless I install big keyboard, I don't always get those options. Although I did raise SwiftKey to the largest size keyboard they let me do.
Really? I'm always looking for a smaller keyboard.
Well, I have big fingers. I like to make sure of my accuracy.
But don't you have a big phone?
Yeah, but I still need the big keys. Okay. On a bigger phone, that means that I have more real estate anyway. That means I don't have to hunt and peck as much because my keys are bigger. Field Trip was updated with new content, improved notifications. So are you excited about Field Trip? Have you gone out and seen the sights of Jacksonville?
No.
I tried it in New York, but it never showed me anything interesting, so I took it away. Pushover, which is the app I use for notifications on my phone. Basically, you can link in a variety of different applications to it, including IFTTT. And I created my own custom application called Fresh Pond. It now has Dash Clock and Pebble Watch support. So the idea of Pushover is if you don't want to implement an app with push notifications, you can use their API and their app and push notifications to it. So I use it to push notifications of various things, including if you come and visit the Android Buffet chat room and it's been idle for a certain period of time and you say my username, it will send my phone a notification in case I'm not there.
That's cool.
So then I know that somebody wants to talk to me, and if I'm available, I'll come and immediately respond. And if I'm not available, you'll get complete silence, which you would have gotten anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah, it took a little setting up. That's ZNC and ZNC Push, which is very useful. But Fresh Pond, which is the app I created, is basically just an app that sends notifications from my server. I have a server named Fresh Pond. Okay. It's not a very exciting app. It just sends me notifications of what's going on with a computer in my house in the event I need to know. Let's see, what do we have here? Oh, yes, Photoshop Touch for phones was released. So if you want to use Photoshop on your phone, you now have a choice. A Power Amp, which is a music player that I do enjoy. It's updated with a Jelly Bean lock screen widget and other features. Another launcher, Social Home Screen Launcher. So if you don't want a traditional home screen, if instead you want your home screen to be filled with Facebook and Twitter, there's for you.
Shoot me.
Yeah, more on Twitter later. DirecTV released a tablet app. It offers streaming in-house and a limited, or at least more limited, selection of channels outside the house. Except it doesn't work with 7-inch tablets such as the Nexus 7. I don't know why you would release a tablet app that doesn't work on most tablets. But maybe it'll come later. If you're a fan of classic gaming, you can try out RetroArch, which emulates many classic gaming consoles.
Like a lot of them.
Yes. Games not included. Well, you know I like retro gaming. I don't do very much gaming, but you know when I game, I like to go back to my childhood and re-experience such classics as Mega Man, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, the classics.
Yep.
Yeah. The Huffington Post app was redesigned, adding a new design and offline reading. So you can download now, read later. Twitter, remember them again? They discontinued TweetDeck for Android. So essentially, they keep killing third-party apps. TweetDeck is a third-party app they bought, and they've allowed to languish. They're now killing it. It's dead.
So sad.
Meanwhile, they updated their own app, which they want everybody to use, except it still lacks many things that third-party apps have. But we're not supposed to care about that. Koosh, remember Koosh? The guy responsible for Clockwork, Recovery Mod, and ROM Manager, and a bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. He's released his new Super User app. So basically, he released a Super User app, even though we have Super SU and various other apps. What's the other one? I always forget. What is the name of the other popular Super? This is going to bother me. I'm just blanking on the name. I gave them money. Anyway, basically, he's of the belief that Super User is so important that it should be open source, AOSP buildable, handle multi-user and concurrent requests. So essentially, it's not as mature as some of the closed-sourced options, but it's already being incorporated into CyanogenMod because it is an open-source product. And I sort of agree with the reasoning. If something has the capability to grant super user privileges to your phone and to apps on your phone, that's something you want in the core operating system. You don't want it maintained by a third party as a closed-source thing. Your thoughts, Cher?
Eh.
Eh on the philosophy or eh on super user?
No, the philosophy is really solid, and I think it's awesome that he's open sourcing it so that it can be included in the nice open source ROMs like CyanogenMod. But
it won't affect you.
For the vast majority of users, I think it comes down to eh.
Well, I think the people who appreciate security but still want to do root will appreciate this. Because while there's no evidence that the two developers who are responsible for the two popular super user apps have any malicious intentions, I think, you know, this idea makes sense. Anyway, let's go over a few things before we end for the night. Yeah. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. You've heard of them, right, Jerry?
Yes.
You know, they do
many, I think so.
Well, they do many interesting shows every week. Not just from
they
us.
They do.
Not just from us.
Not just ours?
Yes. Other people. For example, if you are a Microsoft developer, you've heard of Microsoft, haven't you, Jerry?
Once or twice.
Yeah. You can check out Dev Radio, Channel 9. It is for developers, by developers. On this week's episode, using the geolocation API for your Windows 8 apps. Isn't that interesting?
Nope.
Okay. Isn't it interesting?
Someone yes, it thought, is.
Well, I'm not going to be using the geolocation API, but somebody who's interested in that should go listen to that and learn how to develop Windows 8 apps if that's what they want to do. So there's a podcast out there for everyone.
Sweet.
Maybe it's the Android Buffet podcast. Aren't we for everyone, Jerry?
Even iOS users.
Yes, you can come and hear about Android.
We talked about iOS earlier.
Yes, we did. We talked about a guy who switched from iOS to Android.
See?
Yeah. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. Jerry, I hope that your computer issues are repaired by next week.
Oh.
And next week we'll finalize the arrangements for the rest of the month. I believe we will have to reschedule the show on the 25th and on the 1st. But I do have to work out a few things since I will be out of town. I have to gather my mobile equipment and see if it will be ready in time for a recording or if I'll need extra time to set it up. Since I'm helping my relatives set up for the holidays, my mother told me that when she arrived, I was going to be her slave for an indeterminate period of time in order to assist her. And should I be liberated from slavery prior to the end of Passover, I will be able to enjoy the show. There's some irony in there, isn't there?
Yes.
Okay. She said it. I'm not exaggerating. But anyway, we look forward to your emails, comments, letters. Remember, if you don't like any of those things, you can, of course, like us on Facebook and comment there. You can visit our Google Plus page, run by the intrepid Kevin McLaughlin, who is somewhere tonight, but is very excited every week about the show. And Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus. I'm sure if you can think of another social network that we should be on, we'll see what we can do. Oh, and there has been a report of a problem, reported by Scott Evans, with the OGG feed. Apparently, the OGG feed is falsely reporting the OGG audio files as OGG video files, thus messing up some podcatchers. We do not offer a video feed. We probably will never offer a video feed, as far as I know, because I'd have to spend the time encoding it, and I'm lazy, and it really wouldn't add very much to the show. You'd have to look at us for an hour. And then I'd have to wear pants. I'm kidding. I'm actually wearing pants. But anyway, if anybody knows how that might happen or have any suggestions, I've been trying to figure out what is causing that misclassification. If anybody has any suggestions, drop us a line. Otherwise, I've reported the issue and hoping that one of the developers who developed the software I'm using might have a suggestion. I've been looking and I can't figure it out. I think a second set of eyes might help. And we'll be back next week with more exciting Android-themed news. And possibly, if I don't die before Friday, I will go and visit with the people of NELF. It's the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, happening this coming weekend. Did I tell you that the Door-to-Door Geek offered to let me bunk with him?
Yes.
It was very generous, though. I bought an inflatable mattress.
Ooh.
It seemed cheaper than a hotel room. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. Drop us a line. And otherwise, we will see you next week.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye.